Luke chapter 2, please. In the short time that we have remaining here, I want to just talk about a woman named Anna. Anna is a special woman. Only three verses speak of her in Scripture. Three simple verses. I believe that her name could be in, or should be in, Hebrews chapter 11, along with Sarah, along with Rahab, along with other women that made a stand that you see in Scripture there. This woman is an amazing, amazing woman. There was a tragedy in the midst of her life. We'll read about that in just a moment. But it didn't dissuade her. I believe it made her even stronger. That's the way that trials are when we yield our lives to the Lord. Things are difficult. We go through things that are hard, like Hunsinger family with Anna. But now glory to God. And that's what he does in the midst of our lives. It's just an amazing, amazing story. So join with me here as we look in verse 36 through 38, just as a preview, and then we'll come back again at this wonderful, wonderful woman. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, notice, no happen chance. This was a divine appointment by God. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This woman is an amazing woman. Her name means favor or grace. Indeed, she received great favor from God. She had been looking for the coming of the Messiah, as Simeon and others had. She's included with the angels that spoke of the Messiah there in the beginning of Luke. Elizabeth and Zechariah, John the Baptist, as I said, Simeon, and her name is included in this. And God brought her to that point at that moment for a very specific reason, but she was receiving a reward. There in verse 36, Anna, a prophetess. Again, to mention that there was no other time in New Testament Scripture where this word was applied to an individual, a godly individual. And she was the daughter of Phanuel, whose name means face of God, of the tribe of Asher, which is one of the lost tribes. But notice in verse 36, she was of great age, and she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Now, if anybody is here sitting here and thinking because of your age that you're not able to be in ministry, look at her. She's probably married around 13, 14, maybe at the latest 15 years old. So let's take 13 years that she was married. 7 years she lived with her husband. And then, as it says there in Scripture, 84 years. That adds up to a nice number of 104 years. And then God, yes, she was in ministry. But the fulfillment of her ministry, she would be used in a powerful way, because as we get to it, we'll see that she went to speak of him there in the temple, even more so of what she had seen at that point. Very important to see that. Her gift, it seemed, was to proclaim a divine message through her life and through her words. No doubt, under the Lord's inspiration, she told of future events, about the coming of the Messiah in the temple, or spent time celebrating and speaking of the praises of God. During these 84 years, she did all of that. Through her long life and godly life, her mind, no doubt, had been saturated with the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. She was looking for that return of, or that coming of the Messiah. Are we today looking for the return of the Messiah? As we do, I pray that we would be like Anna, spent time in the temple. Yeah, we can come to church and that's good. But now we are the living temple, spending time with the Lord, saturating ourselves with the Scripture of God, spending time in prayer, spending time to praise in powerful ways. That's what she did. She set an example. She teaches us many lessons in this short time we have here in Scripture. Just the lessons are amazing. Amazing of this woman that we see. She was great age, had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years. But notice in verse 37, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer day and night. More than likely, this does not mean that Anna did not leave the temple. It just meant that her way of life, her habitual lifestyle, her continuous lifestyle was that she would return to that temple. Imagine going to the temple. People would go there and they would know of Anna. Anna would be there. You see, when a woman went through the losing of a husband and she set herself apart, she surrendered her life in the way that Anna did. Great honor was given to her. She was a woman recognized for her godliness, setting herself apart. Rodrigo was talking about surrender our lives. It's very important that we would do that. Hers was a life that truly could have been included with those, as I said, the women in Hebrews chapter 11. A man, Dr. Herbert Lockyer, says this concerning Anna's life. When as a young wife, God withdrew from her the earthly love she rejoiced in, she did not bury her hope in a grave. In the place of what God took, he gave her more of himself, and she became devoted to him. She trusted in God, and her age became a crown of glory. Joy of soul was hers for 84 years, because the one thing she desired was to have God's house as her dwelling place all the days of her life. What an example for us. What a lesson that we learn today. Do we surrender our life as Anna sets the example that we see here? Will we serve the Lord forever and ever, that nothing can dissuade us? We'll go to the temple. We'll go to the place of worship. We'll find our closet, wherever it may be, and we'll worship the Lord forever. It's important that we start out our day, each and every day, I believe, as we know in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, by the mercies of God, that we present our lives to the Lord. They're holy, they're acceptable to him as our act of spiritual worship, that we would not be conformed to this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind into that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The surrendered life is a powerful life. Anna's life was a powerful life, an example for those that were there, an example for us today. Just a beautiful, beautiful thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, we see that, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, and you are not your own? Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his." This surrendered life is a beautiful, beautiful life, but it's a life full of challenge. We must realize how challenged she was. Day in, day out, night and day, it seems, according to Scripture, she went to that temple and she gave praise to God. She was a woman of great honor, setting her life aside. Beautiful, beautiful thing. We can do the same. We can do that. I looked up the Psalm 27, and I'd like to read it to you, because David speaks about a surrendered life. This is what he says in verses 1 through 8. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Do you think Anna might have gone back to Psalm 27? Had heard that preached many times, somewhere after she lost her husband. What is it that I do? What should I do with my life? I don't know where to go. I'm a widow. May not have had a lot in life. But she made a decision, as David said here, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's a decision that we can make. Amen? We can make that decision. Today, Lord, I surrender. Whatever that means, I'm not sure. But I want you to have your way in my life. For David goes on and he says, for in the time of trouble, he, God, shall hide me in his pavilion. And in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me on high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, David said, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. A lesson that we learned from Hannah is that she sought the face of God. Her reward was that she would see the Messiah. She would see the Messiah. As we seek the face of God, we are to know that we shall see the face of the Messiah someday, very, very soon. Another quote concerning Anna from Dr. Herbert Lockyer. I found this one and I loved it. When death ravaged her own home, Anna turned from all legitimate concerns to join the band of holy women who devoted themselves to continual attendance at the night and day services of the temple. She was no occasional attender or dead member, but a constant, devoted worshiper. Her seat in the temple was always occupied. What an inspiration this woman was to those around her. She took that, her life, set it aside and allowed God to have all of it. Anna's was a life of godly self-control. And that's the life that we can have in our lives today too. She learned how to crucify the flesh in order to serve God with in an acceptable way. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, very challenging verse, but it's good for us to memorize this one and to meditate on it. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Anna did that. Whatever was before her, she set herself aside. Notice in verse 37, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Again, habitually she did that. But look at verse 38, the fruit of her life. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. Praise was on her lips. And what did she do? She became a missionary and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. Again, we know, according to Scripture, that Jesus must be allowed to be preeminent in our lives. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 through 18, it says this, and he is before all things, speaking of God. In him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, and who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Jesus, may have the preeminence. Think of her faithfulness in coming to the temple day after day, waiting for the appearance of the Lord. You guys remember back 9/11? Do you remember? Hard time for America, was it not? You that are so young, you probably don't remember it like we that are more aged to remember it. But it was a devastating day for America. More people died that day than in Pearl Harbor that day. After that day, on Sundays, this church and other churches, I talked to other pastors, it was packed out. I had seen people at church that past Sunday that I hadn't seen in 7 years. Hi, it's nice to see you. You know, I didn't say to them, where you been? I wouldn't do that, but I felt like it. No, I'm only kidding. But you know, and then for about 3-4 months, it stayed that way. Then all of a sudden, it began to change. People went back to their regular schedules. We've gone through a lot as a group of people. We really have. A year unlike any other year America has gone through. We were told that we couldn't meet. That will never happen again. Never happen again, as far as we're concerned. We couldn't meet. All that went on. We want to be sensitive. We do want to be sensitive to people. We do, but we must make a stand. So we've tried to walk through this, and we've watched you guys start to come back. If you haven't noticed, notice the chair in front of you. It's a lot closer than it was 2 weeks ago. Anybody scared? We've begun. Hey, we even got the coffee bar out. We got that out too. Not to be flippant, not to not be sensitive, not to be careful. I'm not putting anybody down. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not doing that. But yet it's important that we walk as the Lord wants us to walk, day by day. May I encourage us as we go on next month, the month after that. Keep up your discipline in serving the Lord as Anna served the Lord. What a blessed privilege she was given. She was faithful to walk in it. She became this missionary with a message of salvation for all the world to hear. Thus, she set an example for us to follow. Preach the gospel. Right in here, she came to that point. All that she had gone through, saw the Messiah, and she says, I can't hold it in. I have to go and share with anybody that I can. It's an amazing thing. It says in Scripture, in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, this is what we are to do. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You guys looking for His return? You excited about that? Yeah, keep that strong. And so, what are the lessons that we learned today? Simple lessons, complete surrender. Whatever that means in our lives, complete surrender to God. We learned about the lesson of prayer and fasting, that we should be people of prayer and fasting. We learned the lesson from looking at Hannah that she learned to crucify the flesh. For 84 years, she went to that temple. Faithful. All the prayers went up. All the praises went up. All the things that she said, but more important than all of that was her testimony, her example. She was always there, always part of what God was doing. She was a woman. We learn of the lesson from her life to give thanks, and we should do that. And lastly, of her life, we learn the lesson of sharing the good news for those that are in need. How many today know somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior? We are those messages. You guys get tired of me reminding you of that? I have to remind myself that. We must share in any way that we can and see what the Lord will do. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 in closing says this, blessed are all those who patiently and prayerfully await Christ's second appearance. That's what we're supposed to do. Again, what a great life we see. Just in these three verses, what a woman. And I want to say this. I am so blessed by you ladies. You are strong in so many different ways. And you're to be honored for your faith, for your support, for those that are there with you. If you have a husband, you know, that's a good thing. It is a good thing, right, ladies? It is a good thing. If you have children, you're blessed in that way. Be as Anna was, a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's stand together, please. Father, thank you for Rodrigo being with us. So encouraging to see a gift. I love the testimony on the video and the testimony personally, that he talked about a surrendered life, tied in with the message. I didn't know. He didn't know what the message would be. I didn't know what was going to be that he would be speaking about. So, Lord, there's a message in our hearts today. Whatever that means, may we just willfully say, God, I just want you to have all of it. Wherever you want me to serve, that's where I go. For however long you want me to serve you, that's what I'll do. Bless these wonderful people, Lord. Bless these women in a very special way for their faithfulness. Be glorified in our lives, for we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.